Open your Bible tonight, will you? Isaiah and the 26th chapter. Isaiah chapter 26. We're still going on with the theme, what is or who is a Christian? We got down as far this morning as a Christian and as a temple. We saw the Christian, the temple, his tongue, and then the eyes. We thought of getting the missionary vision this morning by turning our eyes upon the Lord Jesus himself. And when he fills our vision, when he occupies our heart's affection, then there is a definite moving out toward himself. He gives us a vision of himself and he says, look on the fields, they are already white and harvest. It's a grand thing to be a real worshiper, a holy priest functioning in worship, but then this leads us out, my friend, into service as a royal priest. No sooner had our adorable Lord Jesus spoken to the woman that sang as well about worship, this worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And he turned round and said to his disciples, look on the fields, they are already white under harvest. So tonight I trust we'll have that wonderful vision. I left you with a verse this morning, Matthew 28:19-20, asking you just to spend 10 minutes on your knees with that one verse. I'm not asking for a show of hands, asking you who did so. My friend, you cannot spend 10 minutes on your knees with an open mind, an open heart with these two word verses, without hearing the Lord speak in your innermost being saying, go and lo, I am with you all the way. Never that still before your heart. Remember the word from Lamentation chapter 3 and verse number 51. What thine eye seeth affecteth thine heart. And as our eyes have seen our adorable Lord Jesus, then I am quite convinced your heart with my heart has been strangely moved. Now with that before you come down now to Isaiah 26 and reading in verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The words are, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now go with me, will you, across to Timothy, the second letter, and chapter 1. Second letter of Timothy in chapter 1 and verse number 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now here's the reason. Because he trusteth in thee. Now, the Lord has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Remember 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love cast out all fear. And so we are singing in that lovely hymn, no love to thee, O Christ, no love to thee. And when his love is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and we know something of the love life we've been talking of during these past days, then, my friend, this removes all fear, all worry, all anxiety, all fretting and fuming and care. My friend, these are dealt with by perfect law. The psychologist, the psychiatrist, and the medical doctor, they come to the conclusion that what men and women and young people are longing for above everything else, the only thing that can satisfy the deepest longing of the heart is love. Not mere sloppy sentimentality, not mere human affection, not mere sexual completion. No, but love, and that love is personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've come to recognize the only answer to the question, the only solution to the problem is love. Real love. True love. Let me ask you lovingly tonight with all my heart, what do I know of this love? Christ ruling, reigning Lord Supreme. Notice what it says. They have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because we trust in the Lord. Now this leads me, my friend, to this verse again. Perfect love casteth all fear. There's only one perfection in love, that is in the Lord Jesus. We receive Him by faith into our heart. I trust all of us have been wise unto salvation. I trust all in this very fine congregation tonight have done that. You receive the Lord Jesus into your heart. If not, I urge you, I plead with you to do so. A scientist, the Lockheed, sent for me not long ago, through his father, through his wife. This dear man was in a great turmoil. Very intellectual man, very clever man. And I went to see him. I had never met him before. I knew his wife and family were attending the chapel very faithfully. And I met him in his study. And that dear man began to endure in his heart. He opened up. And I sat there as a wise counselor will in silence. And I allowed him to talk and talk and talk. Until at last, I looked straight at him and said, "Sir, you may not like what I am going to say to you, but there's somebody in your life you hate." I thought he was going to hit me. He jammed his feet, his face flushed. He said, "Yes, I hate my mother. I hate my mother for the way she treated my father, and he's in his grave today. Now I know I'm the only child. I know I'm the heir to millions upon millions of dollars. But I hate my mother." And I looked straight at him and said, "Sir, you're on the right road for cancer." The psychologist, the psychiatrist, the medical world have found that a guilt complex will bring cancer on quicker than anything else. If tonight there's someone here and you've got a skeleton in the cupboard, you've got something, my friend, on the shelf, or maybe an inward grudge, maybe a secret hatred, and it's eating you out. Oh yes, it's there. And my friend, you're trying to cover it up, but it's going to come out one day. It's going to come out. That man broke down and sobbed like a child. And I said, "Friend, lest you go to your mother, who is not a Christian, and you profess to be a Christian, but I doubt your salvation. How can you love your brother? How can you say you love God while you hate your brother far less your mother? It doesn't work. No one will tell me they're in love with the Lord Jesus and this perfect love shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit if you're out of touch with your fellow believer. If you're out of touch, my friend, with someone who's in the same wonderful family, the family of the redeemed, the someone, my friend, you hate. Probably you never use that word hate, but remember, you're guilty of murder. You may not use a dagger, You may not use a shotgun. You may not use poison. But my friend, if you're here tonight with that hatred in your heart toward a fellow believer or anyone, then tonight you're guilty of murder. Now God makes that perfectly clear in His Word. Does that sound strong? Does that sound harsh? I say with all the love of my heart, I want the very best for your life. I long that impressions will be made within your breast during these days that are going to have eternal value. I'm not here to sugarcoat the ministry. I'm not here to water down the ministry God's given. And I thank God for a congregation who comes night after night, morning by morning, with a desire to know what God's will is for the line. And I thank God for those who are responding to that desire, and God reveals it to them. What does the Bible say? Those whose minds are stayed upon Him, they have a perfect peace. Because they trust Him. And the trust means they commit their whole life, their whole being to Him. Now that's what it means to be a Christian. It means, my friend, a mind at perfect peace. Because our minds are stayed on Him, there comes an inner serenity, an inner tranquility. Our hearts are occupied with our adorable Lord Jesus. He's filling our vision, the wonder of it all. Now remember the Word of God says. In fact, the very verse before, verse 7 in 2 Timothy 1 says, "Stir up. Stir up the gift that is in thee." Another verse says in Timothy, and also in Peter, "Stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance." The Word of God says, "Keep thy mind pure." It takes me back to where I started. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. You're the very kind of person, my friend, you are in the dark, when you're alone with your thoughts. That's the kind of person you are. The Word of God is crystal clear about this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the injunction tonight is, tear up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Again, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. No wonder Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Oh friend, the mind of the Christian is so vital. Thank God tonight has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Let me ask you lovingly, do you ever thank God for a sound mind? You thank God you got all your reasoning, your faculties. Oh, friend, what a thankful people we should be. In my ministry, I find so many minds deranged. Yet God's great desire for your mind and my mind is a sound mind. A perfect love casting out all fear. This brings a power, a strength, an energy into our innermost being that has eternal value. And the life of Christ truth becomes convincing and vital and noble and pure and all for God's glory. Now I can't live that life, neither can you. But I got a wonderful message for you. He by His Spirit has come into your life and mine that He might live that life through it. And that's why we must yield to the indwelling Spirit. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, please, and verses 1 and 2. This subject of the mind is a very vast subject. Time won't allow me to develop it tonight. But I'd like you to take your concordance, if you haven't got one, you get one in the bookstore. Especially if you've got a Young's, which I still prefer to Strong's. Say, crudence is for the crude, Young is for the young men. Strong is for the strong men. I'm still a young man. And I like young. Notice what he says in verse 1. New trains the theme of the mind through. What a wonderful subject. The scientists, they tell us, only a very small fraction of our minds are used at all. Due to a well-balanced mind. Say concerning Spurgeon, his mind was like a well-stocked larder. Shell for this, a shell for the next thing. Well-ordered and well-stocked. It's good to have a well-stocked mind. A well-balanced mind. Now we're going to see how we're going to get this. See what it says in verse number 1. Notice again the language. I beseech you therefore, and notice the subject. Brethren, notice the notice. By the mercies of God, having given us the assurance of salvation and pardon, the assertion of peace, the assurance of power. Then he says, by the mercies of God, the method, he presents the area, your body, the quality, a living sacrifice, the character, holy, the object, acceptable unto God, the sanity, for this is your reasonable service, your logical, your intelligence, your spiritual worship, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy unto God. Now verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world. You have the request in verse number 1. You have the reason in verse number 1. You got the result in verse number 2. And be not conformed as well, but be transformed, transfigured, changed. Notice now, by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve things that are good and perfect and acceptable, the will of God. May I pause here, dear children of God, tonight? As we have come to this place in our conference, where the cry has been from heart redeemed to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, because we've been redeemed by His precious blood, cleansed by the efficacy of that blood, and saved by His matchless grace, and brought nigh to Himself, and as He is before the Father, so are we tonight down here in part of the palm. And because of this wonderful blessing and those wonderful mercies into which we have been brought, now He says, come and present your body a living sacrifice. Now having done so, and I know some of you did that very thing last night, while some of you fought it, others did it. Now that was a crisis which leads to a continuance. Verse 1 is a crisis. Verse 2 is a continuance. Verse 1 is an act. Verse 2 is an attitude. With all your reasoning faculties in verse number 1, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, you yield yourself unreservedly, unconditionally to the Lord, to the Spirit. Spirit and soul and body. Your time, your talent, your treasure, completely handed over. And from your very heart you cry, with all sincerity, take my love, O Lord, I pour. At thy feet is treasure stored. Take myself and I will be ever only, O for thee. Now that was a definite crisis. That was a definite act. But notice the word in verse number 2. And I found young people in young people's conventions, and others, my friend, in various conventions for the deepening of spiritual life. I've seen my friend, those dear ones, being pleaded with to come forward and open confession of the surrender to the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now to some days it hasn't fit. And to some days it hasn't seemed to work for them. You know why? They've never been taught the truth of verse number 2. What is that verse? By the renewing of your mind. When this happened in my life years ago, an illustration. This is Boswell and I were in a plane for 5 years. When we got this particular plane, there was no assembly. One of our colleagues had been there for a crusade. Some 65 people for French salvation. When we got there, we only found about 5. With that nucleus, Sunday between Christmas and the New Year, the Lord allowed us to show them from God's Word and by object lesson the beauty and the value of the Lord's table. The Lord's table. And from within we began to teach them what this really meant. Oh yes, they broke bread. They were born again. They belonged to the family. It was their prerogative. It was their birthright. It was a joy to be there. But time after time went on, others began to be saved. They came in, attracted by the ministry of Christ from various denominations. The following Easter we baptized 21. The assembly began to grow and develop and mature. Then I began to go away probably once a month. I said with all sincerity and all love. During those years, it was hard going. My own assemblies only sent me £5 all the time I'd be in the Lord's work, which is about $15. I got no assembly, no committee, no organization behind me. We're utterly depending upon the Lord to meet every need. I have no assembly sending me so much every month. We travel all over the world. Very often the oil and the crews may run very slowly, but it never stops to run. Sometimes the meal in the barrel may be very low, but the meal's still there. If I hadn't got the wife I got, I wouldn't have been here tonight. Many times my frame was just hand to mouth. But thank God it was the Lord's hand. The shovel sometimes we shoveled out to other people. Met a man one day, I thought poorer than myself, given the last sixpence I had, the last dime. And I got her magnet said to me, Mr. and Mrs. John Welsh are coming, need some money to get bread. Well, I said, I'm sorry, I gave my last sixpence away. He began to cry. And God met that need. God met that need. Now may I pause here? That went on for 5 years. We have 3 children then. Our own boy Peter, and the 2 Jewish children from Germany I referred to the other night. The house was always open for the Lord's people, and they came from all around. And somehow or other, God always furnished the table. A Jewish boy, my friend, where I referred to, was truly saved. One winter day, there's no coal for the fireplace. The family were down on their knees praying, and we asked God, oh God, undertake. We need coal. Undertake, Lord. While we're still on our knees, we were in a semi-detached house. A garage in between. Not for our car, we hadn't got a car, we got bikes. Garage door open. We heard it hurling through the garage. What was it? A wheelbarrow. Some dear saints of God were on their knees praying. While they were praying, God laid us upon their heart to bring down the barrel full of coal. Robert, the Jewish boy, turned around and said, Auntie, how did Mr. Rogers bring that barrel of coal? Nobody's been out of the house and Uncle's just prayed for that coal. God must have heard Uncle.
and that is salvation.
But this went on. And I got home from some of these weekends. I had gone off in ministering the word, traveling miles and miles because no other assembly in the area. Angus would say to me, "Every brother in the assembly took part this morning." "Wonderful," I said. "Wonderful. Praise the Lord." "Go away again." Same thing would happen. I came home. "Everybody in the assembly took part this morning while you were away." And it began to dawn on me. I said, "What are you getting at?" He says, "When you're at home, only one or two take part. But when you go away, everybody takes part." "Ah, I see. It's time for me to move on now. Is that what you're getting at?" "Yes." And after 5 years we were there. Now I'm getting to this point. Before the 5 years were up, and waiting there only, they invited us for 2 weeks. And said we're coming for 6 months. We stayed there for 5 years. We don't always do that, by the way, but we felt constrained by the Spirit of God to do it. But the difference came into the assembly. Souls are not being saved. God's still were not going on and developing and maturing in victories we'd long to see them going on. And we knew there was something wrong. And like most evangelists and teaching brethren, I began crashing the congregation. "Oh, by the way, I'm so sorry. Or am I sorry? But some of you here have been thinking I've been using the scraper. Now, if you thought that, it was all in love. I thought I was filling your vision with Christ, and when you're in love with Christ, my friend, you'll do anything for Him. Isn't that true? You'll do anything for Him when you're in love with Him." What happened? One morning, I used to say to those people, "Go home. Get things put right with God, then come back and there'll be a mighty power. Then we'll see the floodgate open and great blessing coming again." One Monday morning, alone in my room, the Spirit of God began working in my own life. He put His finger upon my own life. You know something? He put His finger upon all the blockage right there. I said it humbly, I said it frankly, all sincerity, that it may be a blessing to all of us. And all I could get from the Lord were these words: "I will show thee the path of life. I will show thee the path of life. Lord, show me. Show me." And you know, He says, a voice said to me, look at verse 10, I'm referring to Psalm 16, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. I will show thee the path of life." Said, "Lord, show me. Oh, dear Lord, show me." And I realized then there was something in my life that had to die. Something had gone to go to the cross. And notice now, I taught this all over the British Isles. I knew Galatians 2:20. I knew Romans 6. I knew Colossians chapter 3. Oh, my friend, I knew the difference between Jacob and Israel. And I taught it. And we've seen the assemblies established here and there. And we've seen, my friends, token the results of salvation for your soul. But then that day the Lord showed me something had to go to the cross. Now I thought that very morning the Lord had got everything off me and completely all of me until that very morning. You know what that something was? It was vain glory. Vain glory. I wanted souls to be saved. I wanted God's will to be going on with the Lord Jesus. I wanted to see a mighty movement. Why? That Jim Boswell might get the pat on the back. That Jim Boswell might be such a wonderful preacher. And the Lord stopped the blessing. Friend, He will not share His glory with another. He must have all the glory. Amen? He must have all the praise. He must have it all. And that morning, a boy said, "You've given your wife. You've given your child. You give him your time, your talent, your treasure. The Jim Boswell, I want you." Now I thought he got every part of me until that morning. And here still quoting down my things I prayed. The prayer I so often use here during these past days, with a desire in my heart may find an echo in heart here. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement dost give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. And Lord, if it please Thee, don't show me one token of result until I reach the glory. Now that was a crisis, and there's never a morning before I leave my room. Very often, between 4 and 5 in the morning, still lying in my bed, I look up and say, Lord, I am still Thine. Or it may be I quote the whole chorus once more, the prayer from my heart. When temptation crosses the pathway, as so often it does in this particular ministry, quietly we just look up and say, Lord, I am still Thine, look after Your property, it's in danger. The crisis, Lord, I yield. For there must be the moment by moment, day by day, renewing of the mind. I am no longer my own. Lord, You're the life of my life. And it says here, great peace have they whose mind is stayed on the Lord. They have perfect peace. In the mind you've got perfect peace. Because our minds are stayed on Him. Beloved, let me ask you very lovingly, have you got that perfect peace in your heart tonight? Or is there that inward turmoil, that inward surging, that inward longing? Tonight you may know peace. That peace is in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. What happened in that little assembly? The floodgates were opened, and the Spirit began to flow. The Wednesday night I confessed the whole thing to the assembly, and told them to forgive me, asking to do it for misjudging them. Tonight, friend, I want us to do business with Jesus Christ. You've had a wonderful time of ministry during these past weeks and months. The Lord has been touching your heart and filling your vision with Himself. And you've been thrilled to know what you are in Christ. What you've been brought into as a child of God, it's wonderful. But now He wants to live that life through us, day by day, in the energy of an ungreed Holy Spirit. So are we willing for this? Really? Will you from your very heart pray and pray with all sincerity? Reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to Thee in everything. A mind at perfect peace with God. Hymn number 336. I meant to finish that subject tonight. We need to go on tomorrow morning, the same theme. We go down tomorrow morning to letter P. You must be in prayer, will you, regarding these meetings. We can be of any help to anyone, of any, we want you just to wait behind. Talk to us about it. You're not saved, we want to get the matter settled tonight. You're a child of God living a defeated life. No need for that. You can know victory. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 says, thanks be unto God, you always give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, moment by moment, I'm catching His love. Moment by moment, I've light from above. Moment by moment, the glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine. 336. Going to give out tonight 362. take my life and let it be. And of course, dear Andy, he just got that hint. Away he goes, he rejoiced. Isn't that wonderful God is doing? Now, come on, verse number one. Notice the words, this beautiful hymn. There's something majestic about this. Isn't there? Let's sing it softly and prayerfully. All together.
O patient, spotless one, our hearty meekness pray, to bear thy yoke and learn of thee, that which may rest obtain. Savior, thou art King of the mind and heart to feel thy light to tempt the angel's soul. Thy love is here dispelled.
You believe that? Say amen. Somebody didn't hear what I said. You believe that in verse number 2, say amen. That's much better. The Lord bless you on the last verse, and notice what it says.
Oh, seek our earnest King, the holy Lord of me, that with thy beauty of your mind, we elsewhere none may see.
O blessed Savior, thou hast offered perfect rest, so give it now to me. Help us, O God, to understand fully the value of thy holy word tonight, that we may know that perfect peace given to those whose mind is stayed and focused and settled and fixed in our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. O may the Spirit himself give us that wonderful revelation of our adorable Lord Jesus, that he may become absolutely everything to us, the very life of our life, the love of our love. We ask thy blessing upon each one in this congregation, and we thank for each one, O God, here tonight. We thank thee for this very fine crowd. But, O God, we ask thy blessing upon any who may be here without the Savior. O God, we covet them for thyself. They too may turn their eyes upon Jesus and be melted by that love, so full of compassion and understanding. And they may cry from their heart, Lord, I yield, I no longer withhold. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, and for thy glory, to whom be glory both now and forevermore. Amen.